Gospel of St. Luke, chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Hear now these words. It was now the 15th year of the reign of Tiberius, the Roman emperor. Pontius Pilate was governor of Judea. Herod Antipas was ruler of Galilee. His brother Philip was ruler over Iturea and Trachonitis. Licinius was ruler over Abilene. Annas and Caiaphas were the high priests. At this time, a message from God came to John, son of Zechariah, who was living in the wilderness. So John went from place to place on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized to show they had repented of their sins and returned to God to be forgiven. Isaiah had spoken to John when he said, "He is shouting in the wilderness, 'Prepare the way for the Lord's coming. Clear the road for him. The valleys will be filled, the mountain hills made level, the curves be straightened, and the rough places made smooth.' And then all people will see the salvation sent from God." When the crowds came to John for baptism, he said, "You brood of snakes, he warned you to flee the coming wrath. Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. Don't just say to each other, 'We're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham.' That means nothing, for I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees. Yes, every tree that does not produce good fruit will be chopped down and thrown into fire." The crowds asked, "What should we do?" John replied, "If you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share with those who are hungry." Even corrupt tax collectors came to be baptized and asked, "Teacher, what should we do?" He replied, "Collect no more taxes than the government requires." "What should we do?" asked some soldiers. John replied, "Don't extort money or make false accusations, and be content with your pay." Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered their questions by saying, "I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. He is ready to separate the chaff from the wheat with his winnowing fork. Then he will clean up the threshing floor, gathering the wheat into the barn, but burning the chaff in never-ending fire." And God and John used many such warnings as he announced the good news to the people. John also publicly criticized Herod Antipas, ruler of Galilee, for marrying Herodias, his brother's wife, and for many of the wrongs he had done. So Herod put John in prison, adding this sin to many others. One day, when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. And as he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit, in bodily form, descended on him like a dove. And a voice from heaven said, "You are my dearly beloved Son, and you bring me great joy." My friends, this is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. All right. So this morning, I want to speak to you a little bit about our friend John the Baptist. Now, in Luke, when he starts his gospel off in chapter 1, 2 there, when he first started off, King Herod the Great was king of Judea. And the emperor was a guy named Caesar Augustus. But the years have gone by. Caesar Augustus has died of old age. And now Tiberius is now the Roman emperor. After Herod the Great died, we talked a little bit last week about his son Archelaus had killed 3,000 Jewish people when he first took over. And it was so bad that Tiberius and Augustus decided that you know, maybe it's time to do something a little different. And so they start appointing Roman governors in Judea and Samaria, you know, the lion's share of the land, and then let some Herod's kids have smart pieces of real estate. And so at this time, we have a person named Pontius Pilate being governor of Judea. Meanwhile, Herod Antipas, son of King Herod the Great, he is ruler over Galilee. That's where Jesus grew up at. His brother Philip is over at Antioch. I don't know who Licinia was. And the high priest, Annas and Caiaphas. That sounds a little strange because there's only one high priest at a time. Annas was the high priest, but he got fired by the Romans. But the Romans didn't want pressure luck, so they put his sons and son-in-laws as high priests. And Caiaphas was actually the son-in-law of Annas. So officially, Caiaphas was the high priest, but in the people's mind, they consider Annas to be the real high priest. So that's why Annas and Caiaphas. And so when we're reading this, we're already seeing kind of some whispers of the story of Good Friday, aren't we? Remember Annas and Caiaphas, they have Jesus arrested, put him on trial. They sent him for Pontius Pilate, the Roman governor. And then in a desperate bid to kind of get his hands, wash his hands of this little Nazarene guy, Pontius Pilate sends him over to Herod Antipas, ruler of Galilee. And he's your subject, you take care of him. And so while these individuals are in charge of their respective areas, John the Baptist speaks up. And isn't it ironic how that John the Baptist, the guy whose dad couldn't speak for 9 months, old John, he can't hush up. He's always got something to say. Why? Because he is the messenger. He prepares a way. And he goes around on both sides of the Jordan River, preaching that people should be baptized and so they have repented of their sins and turned to God to be forgiven. And I'm sure you remember how when God led his people out of Egyptian slavery, they were in the wilderness for 40 years, and then he got time to enter the promised land, and they had to cross through the Jordan River to get to the promised land. And it's kind of like John saying, you guys live apart from God. You need to come back to the Jordan River and get baptized. You need to come through the waters. It's time to repent and get close to God again. And then we have the famous verse from Isaiah. Every valley shall be filled, mountain be made, hills made low. Rough places made smooth, and crooked places made straight. And all flesh will see the glory of the Lord. And so, interestingly, when the people come to John to be baptized, he says, you brood of snakes, who warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Prove by the way you live that you have repented of your sins and turned to God. In other words, John was saying, no, don't come to church and fill out a little card saying you're a Christian now and bend the plate and think that's good enough. When you truly follow Jesus, there should be a change in your lifestyle. You should be living the way sinners live and non-believers. You should be different. And then they say, and he says, and don't say to each other, we're safe, for we are descendants of Abraham. That means nothing. For I tell you, God can create children of Abraham from these very stones. One of the problems that the Jewish people had in those days is that they thought, well, Abraham is our ancestor, and God promised Abraham he would bless him and his descendants, that's us, therefore we got nothing to worry about. In other words, it's kind of like a little monopoly card, get out of jail free. And the sad part is, we got a lot of folks today of that same attitude. I call it kinfolk religion. Oh, my mom, she was a good, sweet Christian lady. Or my grandfather, he was a Baptist preacher. I know I'm good. Well, hey, that doesn't matter. God's not asking about your ancestors. He's asking about you, your decisions, and your life. You can't get to heaven on your parents and grandparents and great-grandparents' spiritual life. You had to make your own confession of faith and live according to God's laws and decrees. You just can't ride in and say, I'm with him. That's not how that works. And then, John, he uses some rough language. Listen to this. Even now, the axe of God's judgment is poised, ready to sever the roots of the trees? Yes. Every tree that does not produce good fruit shall be chopped down and thrown into fire. Now, that's something you don't hear every day on the TV, dude, from the TV preacher. But John Baptist was warning folks about Judgment Day was coming. Now, Jesus says a good tree brings out good fruits. And John Baptist said, if you don't straighten up, the day will come when there is judgment. And God will have to take that axe, and all these bad trees have to be cut down and thrown into fire. That is God's judgment. Now, and I'm sure John got people's attention. Now, we know elsewhere from Matthew's gospel that he wore camel skin. He ate locusts and honey. That'd be like eating for us grasshoppers and honey. I just imagine John looking like a wild mountain man out of Telco, just out by Barbara Falls, you know, baptizing folks. Or maybe here he'd be at the Chesterfield River baptizing folks. And so the crowd asked, well, what should we do? John replied, if you have two shirts, give one to the poor. If you have food, share it with those who are hungry. Huh. You know, it doesn't take a lot of rituals to show that you're a follower of Christ. John just said, if you got two shirts, take one shirt and give someone who doesn't have one. That's a clothes closet. If you got some food, share it with those who are hungry. You know, when I came in this morning, I noticed we had some boxes in the corner. Now, I didn't pre-plan this. I thought this is what the scripture was today, you know, but there they were in the corner. God knows how they got arranged. And I'm reading this, and I thought, there's those boxes. I thought, I need to go by the store and put some canned food in there. I'm talking about me. Because if you have food, share it for those who are hungry. And John's preaching was so powerful that even people who would not normally set foot in a synagogue and church would come out to the river and listen to this crazy mountain man and ask him for spiritual advice. He had some tax collectors. The IRS folks came down. John, what do we need to do? John didn't say quit the IRS, but he said collect the correct amount of taxes and no more. And I'm sure you all remember the stories of Zacchaeus, who was a tax collector, and how Zacchaeus climbed a tree, and when he saw Jesus, and Jesus said, come down, Zacchaeus, I want to eat at your house today. And being in the presence of Jesus, Zacchaeus' heart was so changed. He said, Lord, I'm going to go through, and I'm going to do the audit of my finances. And if I cheat anyone out of money, took extra off the top, I'm going to pay them back four times as much. In other words, if I go through and I saw that I overcharged Herb $100 on his taxes, well, he's going to get a $400 rebate from me. And then out of my wealth, Lord, I'm going to give half of it to the poor. And then it has some soldiers. Now, the soldiers back then were kind of like our local police department, okay? Back then, your soldiers, police department were one and the same. What should we do? You know? That'd be like here, the Englewood cops show up. Well, John, what do we should do? Did John say, you need to quit the police department? Defund the police? No, he didn't say that. We need policemen. We need somebody to keep some law and order. We need someone when we dial 911 who's going to pick up the phone and come to our rescue. But policemen also have a responsibility to act correctly. And he said, don't extort money or make false accusations. In other words, don't be out here playing evidence, accusing folks of this and that, making yourself look good. You know, be content with your pay. In other words, don't be out here feet grabbing. Don't pull Clint over for going 36 and 35 and give him a ticket. Right? You know what I'm talking about. You know the difference between a good cop and a bad cop. We've all been there. You know, I mean, if you're speeding, you're speeding. You get a ticket. But this little, well, you was going to 36, I'm going to write you a ticket, or sir, your headlights out, I'm going to give you a ticket, pay this ticket, you know. There's no need of that. Now, if you still drive out the headlight a week later, yeah, that's a little different story. That's on you at that point, you know. But when you're a police officer, you should serve and protect. They go together. And so here was the IRS, the local police department, were coming down the river, getting saved and getting baptized, you know. And everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon. And they want to know if John might be the Messiah. And in the Gospel of John, there's this great scene where the leaders come to John and say, John, we're here from the from the bishop's office, and we need to ask you some questions. Are you the Messiah? I am not. Are you Elijah? Because, you know, we heard Elijah was supposed to come at the end of time, and Elijah wore a camel robe. You look kind of like Elijah does. I am not. Are you the prophet? Because Moses talked about a great prophet coming at the end of time. I am not. Well, who are you then? What are you doing? You know. And that's when John says, I'm the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Prepare the way for the Lord. In other words, John's saying, it's not about me. It's about the one coming in behind me. John says, I baptize you with water. But someone's coming who will baptize you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. You know, it's interesting how John's gospel has Jesus tells Nicodemus about being born of the water and the Spirit. John says, I'm but water on top of you. But someone's coming and fill you with the fire of the Holy Spirit. He's coming after me, and he's worthier than I am. John says, I'm not even worthy to be his slave. I'm not even worthy to untie his shoelaces. And then he says, this person is going to separate the chaff from the wheat with a winnowing fork. No, he's using the ag terms about how when a farmer goes to harvest and gets the wheat away from the rest of the products, and the wheat goes into the barn, the rest gets burned up. He says, someone is coming, he's going to separate folks like sheep from goats. And then John gets himself in trouble. It says, John criticized Herod Antipas, the ruler of Galilee. Why? Because Herod Antipas stole his brother Philip's wife, Herodias. And what's interesting is you go look at the history, that's actually his niece. Now, personally, I think he did his brother Philip a favor, but that's neither here nor there. The fact is, here this guy was a ruler, and he went and stole his brother's wife. And he thought, well, I'm the ruler, I can do what I want. And John called him out on it and told him, says, send back your brother's wife. Until he dies, she's not yours. Send her back. And I'm sure that made Herodias very happy with John the Baptist. And so Herod Antipas, I said, along with his many sins, threw John the Baptist in prison. You know, and last week I brought this book, Josephus. And in Josephus, there's an entire passage about Herod Antipas and John the Baptist, where Josephus, who is not a Christian, says there was this John the Baptist person who was wise and virtuous, calling the people to repent. And talks about how one of the people he called to repent was Herod Antipas. John didn't care if you were in the bottom of the ladder or the top of the ladder. When he saw sin, he called out. And then we have this very strange story. This is one of two events that every historian agrees happened to Jesus, whether they're atheists, agnostic, whatever. Every historian believes that Jesus was crucified, and every historian believes that Jesus was baptized. Because think about this. If you were making up your own religion, and you were saying this guy was the Son of God, and he was perfect and sinless, if you were making that religion up, would you have him go and get baptized by someone else for a baptism for the remission of sins? You wouldn't do that, would you? And yet one day, John was baptizing, and Jesus shows up. And John, in Matthew's gospel, is taken by surprise. John says, hold on a second. Aren't you the one that should be baptizing me? You know. And what does Jesus say? Let it be so that we may fulfill all things righteously. You know, last week I went into great detail about Jesus being human, and he had to do things that that we might think he just speed through, but he had to grow up and be a baby and a toddler and learn his ABCs, learn how to walk, learn how to take care of himself like anyone else did because he was human. And part of being human was that even though he didn't need it, he went to undergo a baptism as an example for us. Okay. Think about some of you parents. Have you ever done something not because you really need to do it, but you're trying to set an example for your kids? This is how you should do things. And so Jesus goes to John and says, John, I need you to baptize me. And John's like, well, if you say so. And I thought, I wouldn't think the Messiah needed to be baptized, but I'll do this. And then what happens? Luke Gospel is the one that tells us that Jesus comes out of the water praying. And he's praying, the heavens open. And the Holy Spirit in the bodily form descend on him like a dove. And the voice from heaven said, you are my dearly beloved son. You bring me great joy. And when the King James Version says, no, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. And here we have a beautiful picture of the Trinity. You have Jesus, the Son of God, fully divine, so he hasn't committed any sins, but also fully human, undergoing a baptism as an example to us. You have his heavenly Father in heaven, for he established the throne on high. He looks down upon the newly baptized, and he says, this is my beloved Son, in whom I'm well pleased. And then you have the Holy Spirit descending from the Father to the newly baptized in the form of a dove. Okay. And I'm sure you've heard a song, and Maggie, you might remember that song was on the radio, about how when Jesus went down to the river to pray, he was baptized in the usual way. But as he came up, the heavens opened up. God blessed his own son on the wings of a dove. On the wings of a snow-white dove, he sends his pure, sweet love, a sign from above, on the wings of a dove. Now, when Jesus was baptized, that was a, no puns intended, or all puns intended, that was a watershed moment. He was no longer just the son of Mary and Joseph of Nazareth. It was now like the time has come to begin my ministry that the Father has sent me on this earth to preach and teach the good news of the gospel. And so for us, we're being baptized. You know, we get baptized, we get to join the church. We confess Jesus our Savior and get baptized and join. And I grew up Baptist, so when I got baptized, it was in that big pool of water. Here in Methodist world, there's some folks been baptized by the river. Some got sprinkled, some got poured. The main thing is you need to get baptized when you're a Christian. And if someone's here today as a Christian and been baptized, I can't baptize you, but I can get a Methodist preacher here who can baptize you. And at the end of the service, I'll invite you to remember your baptism. Now, why is baptism important? Because in similar ways, like when you get baptized, God says, this is now a child of God. We're not on the same level as Jesus by a long shot, but now we're not just no longer part of his creation. Not more just creating an image of God, but now we are a child of God. And Paul describes it as like, down with the old man and up with the new. It's like burial and resurrection. You had that old you for all your sins, but then you repented. We're in that water like burial. And then you came about that water. You were a brand new person. It wasn't a patch job. Patch, patch, patch. You were a brand new person. And so my challenge for you today is, no, if you haven't been baptized and you need to be baptized, you need to let me know so we can get you baptized. And if you have been baptized, remember that. Now, this is God's gift to you. It wasn't something you did. God came in your life. He saved you from your sins. And when you were baptized, he gave you the Holy Spirit to live inside you, to guide you and be your God and show you his ways and commands. No. You are my dearly beloved son, and you bring me great joy. Thanks be to God. Amen. All right.